You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast.
The following sermon was preached on the third Sunday of Easter, April 30th, 2017, by the Reverend Steve Best, Associate for Couples and Family Life at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now on that same day, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" Jesus asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, he interpreted them to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Have you ever thought about what kind of traveler you are? I know I have. Do you prefer to do a lot of packing before you start off on a trip, getting all of your ducks lined up in a row? Or do you just prefer to go? Do you pack light, simply, quickly, or do you prefer to pack and pack to your heart's delight, anticipating every conceivable need? Do you find yourself wanting to travel when you need an escape from the weather, your troubles, or needing to fly away from a painful situation? Perhaps you prefer to not travel at all, because of all the hassles and dangers. Isn't that one of the attractions of a staycation? Maybe you prefer to travel only in your mind, to places you've been or dreamed to go, and that's not a bad option if the count is a bit low. Today's in this gospel lesson, we have two very ordinary travelers who are weary, and eventually they become extraordinary travelers. I'll call them Eucharistic travelers. They become full of new hope and have hearts that burn with joy and renewed vision for the future. I'm reminded of a very wonderful quote recently by Pope Francis when he said, "The people of God are the fire within the heart of God." And I think that is a great place to be. But that's not where these two travelers started. We aren't given much information about who they are. One is named, one is not. They are disciples of Jesus, but not part of the original 12 or the remaining 11. And yet, in the beginning of their journey, even though they had been disciples, they do not recognize him. They could be husband and wife. Why do I say this? Just remind us not to automatically assume that these two disciples are men. It's very likely they have recently been to Jerusalem. That's what they're talking about. They're engaged in deep conversation about all the things that have happened around Jesus' death and resurrection. They were in intense grief and likely weary from trying to figure it all out. Was Jesus' resurrection from the dead only an idle tale, as some had said, even some of the disciples? Perhaps just a wishful fantasy, a coping mechanism to help them escape from their pain? Or could it be a solid basis for a wild and fierce hope? For now, heart-piercing grief is what these two travelers feel. This is their unmistakable and unchangeable reality. They knew it wasn't safe to stay in Jerusalem. They weren't planning to return there anytime soon. They had hit the open road. I bet they thought they would be traveling alone and slip out of town unnoticed by God. But they were wrong. God would be there, as he always is, there on the open road. He would be there as grace, but disguised. I'm reminded of the words of the psalmist, "O God, where can I go from your spirit? O where can I flee from your presence? If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you, O Lord." I believe this to be one of the greatest spiritual truths we can discover in our lifetimes, the sense that God is always present to us, but unfortunately, we're not always present to God. We know this to be especially true when we're experiencing intense grief or tragedy. We feel God is nowhere to be found. And one of the reasons we have an entire season of Easter, not just a day, is so that we can travel and explore this rugged terrain and eventually hold the dynamic tension that comes from finding grief in the midst of resurrection, and yes, even resurrection in the midst of our grief. We often find it so hard to hold on to this tension, hold on long enough to reach a transformational level of understanding. We often choose the culturally approved roads of over-medicating, distracting ourselves, escaping, denying, rather than travel on the open road of faith. A very moving and very beautiful story of one person's journey to find Easter faith in the presence of darkness is in the book North of Hope, A Daughter's Arctic Journey. In her compelling and gripping book, Episcopalian Shannon Huffman Poulsen tells a story of her struggle to find hope and new life after the horrific death of her father and stepmother while they're on a wilderness trip in Alaska. Using the unlikely assortment of spiritual resources ranging from Mozart's Requiem, Jewish grief rituals, and yes, our beloved Episcopal Book of Common Prayer, she finds a way to open her heart back up and her eyes to discover the felt presence of God. Using her father's travel log that was recovered at the scene of his death, She courageously retraces her father's and stepmother's trip down an Arctic river in the hopes of finding closure. Facing many temptations, perils, and struggles along the way, some with her own brother who happens to be on the trip, she is guided by the presence of Jesus, who travels with her in the form of consecrated bread and wine. It is in a small plastic bag that's been sent with her from her priest. Finally, when Shannon reaches the campsite where the attack by the bears occurred, she courageously creates a sanctuary, a simple one, made of rocks and a simple wooden cross. Reciting part of the Eucharistic prayer from our Episcopal prayer book, she consumes these elements, the bread and the wine, and she prays for healing. A heart then begins to burn within her of hope, a heart of hope. Having received the grace necessary to begin the process of restoring communion and peace with God, with nature, with her father and stepmother, and eventually with herself. Like the two Eucharistic travelers on the road to Emmaus, it was finally her time, God's time really, to see the mystery of faith revealed through the eyes that could now see what we all know to be familiar in our liturgy. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and the risen Christ will come again and again. In Shannon's own words, "On this beach I knelt with the Good Friday God, the suffering God who had wept and bled, cried out and died. The Easter God, that was who I'd been trying to talk to, but I wasn't ready. It wasn't time. First, I had to pray to the Good Friday God, the one who suffered, before I could understand any part of the resurrection. This was the gift of my faith." So may all of us, with Shannon and the two on the road to Emmaus, the whole communion of saints, through God's grace, become his Eucharistic travelers, on the way to discovering a wild and fierce hope that is greater than all of our doubts and fears, and always leads us back to Easter. Amen.
Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.